Yeah.
Let's start with something a little different. So I have a video to show. So I don't have a big screen or anything, so everyone's going to have to come a bit closer. You're going to have to go on us.
VIP.
Something I saw yesterday. It's like a 3-minute clip of Rav Asher Weiss talking about an experience he had, and I could not share it. I could not share it. You saw it, so okay, fine. You saw it, you'll see it again.
Don't run the people posted on the other side.
I won't mention his name because, you know, after all, this is personal. A young Israeli soldier that lost both legs and his right arm and was left with an injured left hand. Yeshiva boy, wonderful young Talmud Chacham. And I went to visit him. So the first question he asks me is, what do I put on tefillah now? I'm a rabbi. But now his right arm was amputated under the elbow. Is that Yad Keho? So do I need to put on tefillin on my right hand? Second question was, I use my left hand to eat, but I also have some use with what was left of my right arm. Do I need Netilis Yadayim on my right? Third question, I hope I'll have a prosthetic by Sukkot time. What do I do with the Lulav and the Eslik? How do I hope? And the last question was, brought tears to my eyes. When I'm gonna get my prosthetics, when do I say the Shekhinyanu? When I get them or when I use them? I was never asked. And at prothesis, you say Shekhinyanu, I was crying. And he looks at me puzzled and he says, is it less than a Begit Chodosh? So these are tzaddikim. If this young boy, Chas v'Sholom, would become an apikoros, could anybody judge it? Does anybody have the right to judge it? 20-year-old boy left without legs and without a right arm. And these are the questions that trouble him. So, I think our community at least needs to know these boys and appreciate them. Doesn't mean you have to be like them. You could have your own hashgacha. But it is important to know. And it's important to know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has beloved children there as well, not only here. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu's kindalach are not only. I don't want to mention it. Not only here, but there as well. So I think it's important that we know these kids and know these people and appreciate them and say thank you. And also feel the responsibility in your learning, in your davening, in your chesed, in your harvest of soil. That's what you could contribute, but you need to feel it. And you need to do your utmost.
Rabosa, I don't think I need to add any more than what Rav Asher Weiss ended off there with. And I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep doing this because our nature is, as I've said before, and I will say again, is to continually have a hesach adas as to what's going on. And we need to bring, we have a chiyuv to keep bringing ourselves back, our minds and our hearts back to what our brothers are going through. We must do it. We must do it. There's no question about it that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when a person like that gets injured and wounded, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, kivyachol, whatever it means, has tsar over that. He's not happy. And for us to continue going on in our happy-go-lucky lives, Kiilu, like we're working on Avas Hashem, etc., and there Hashem is crying over this boy, and we just couldn't care less. That's not loving Hashem. That's not the correct avoda either. We're missing if that's what we're holding. So number one, obviously, just to be cognizant of this. Number one, that we are the beneficiaries of people's Mesiras Nefesh. That's happening on an hourly basis now, and not to forget that. And then obviously the nafkamina for us, practically being a Gravasher ended off. Our davening, let's not forget that our tefillah is one of the main components of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for from us to respond to in this situation. And it's not done. It's not done. I know, okay, Gaza, we're finishing up, etc. We have no idea where this is going. And from the 7th of October, what that has caused to happen in the world out there, it's not good, and it continues to be not good, and we're going to see the negative effects of this for all of Kaiser for a long time. There's no question about it. Anyone who's paying attention to what's going on. We cannot, it's hard. It's hard to hold on to one message or one idea for so long. We know that. For so many reasons. Our nature is against such a thing. It's tiring. We've heard it before. We don't want to. That means that I'm being demanded of. You know, I have to actually do something now, and nobody likes having to do anything. So many things, so many reasons that are working against us, but it's clear to me that it's the right thing. It's the right thing, especially for us, who I davened Hashem that we're getting the right message here, that we're looking to our Torah Kadosha to see how to respond to such a situation, and then put all your weight behind it. So, obviously, like I said, the davening, Avas Yisrael, I'm learning to say for Yisod V'Shorash V'Avoda. It's a very, very intense and very intense sefer. I just learned yesterday, he has an equation he says the kiyum of V'Avta V'Yecha Kamocha. There are different ways to mekayim that. One of the ways is through your machshava, through your mind, through your heart, feelings. And he says one of the ways that it happens is that we know that everybody is aware of the fact that when you're going through a hard time, and you go through something that pains you, if you feel as though nobody knows about it, nobody cares, right? It makes it worse. And on the flip side, right? If you know that people are aware of that, and they come and they ask you about it and they share in that, it actually alleviates some of that stress and some of that pain, somehow. Just someone sharing with you and your experience helps. And it brings a chazal that we know that when Klal Yisrael, or when a Jew is having a hard time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also kivyachol. So he says that part of the kium of Ahavta Rechecha Kamocha, by joining in another Jew's tzar and trying to bring that down, mimela now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to kivyachol feel less tzar because you've alleviated the Jew's less tzar. So really, your kium of Ahavta Rechecha Kamocha, of long and fellow Jew, is one at the same time also a kium of Avas Hashem. That's also a kium of giving Nachas Ruch to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's the same thing. That's the equation that he makes. So we know there's a lot of different components here. I wanted to again try and give some chizuk and try and give a new perspective on our limud, right? Our learning and dafka in this situation that we're in now. You know, right before the end of summer's man, things are quieter, more difficult. And I want to try and bring out something that I think we can focus on in the next couple of weeks that's very much tied to what I began speaking about. So here, we're at Brachos Lamed Aleph Amabez. Very interesting. Maimer of Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara says, Am Rabbi Elazar Mishum Rabbi Yosi Ben Zimra. Brings a couple of Mamarim of him. Here's one of them. Kol HaYoshi B'Tainis B'Shabbos. Anyone that is going to fast, have a tainus on Shabbos. Currently, Gzardino shal shivim shana. Tear up an evil decree that's on your head, says Rashi. Afilu klomar afilu nigzar alav min urov. You got a gzer on your head. You're now a 70 something. I don't know what. I don't know, can you get a gzera before you're 20? It's only a bar onchin 20. Can you get him from 30? I don't know, from 13 to 20. But this guy is old, right? So yeah, he's in his, 80s, 90s. And he's already got a gzera din from when he's a small kid. So this is a serious gzera din. I don't know what's going on over here, but it's not a joke, whatever this gzera din is. And he decides, I'm fasting on Shabbos. Boom, there's something so special about that fast, and that avoda, this thing that's been hanging around for 70 years, gets ripped up. And even though he did something nistama that's positive, right? You see it was ripped up the gzar din or changed it to a good din. Chayzvin v'nifrad v'menu din oinig Shabbos. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to come to him and say, "No, you were supposed to have oneg Shabbos. Right? You fasted on Shabbos. Right? You didn't eat, which caused you a certain amount of pain. You didn't do oneg." But there's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. What about the chulin and the wine? And the, what about, you didn't have any of that. You owe me. You owe me. You're going to get hit for that. You're going to pay for that. Mai takante. So what should the guy do? Now he's stuck. It's a good thing to do. It's the right thing to do. But he's going to get hit for it. So how does he avoid the negative side of having to pay for not doing Oneg Shabbos? Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Leisib ta'anisa l'tainas. He should sit another tainas, either the next day or later on, whatever the case may be, another tainus on the fact that he made a tainus on Shabbos. The second one obviously not being on Shabbos. Yeah. That's the end of the Gemara. Now, there's a big diun in the Rishonim over here. Tosfos brings it, and also on the page in the Ein Yaakov, it's brought, the Shita talks about it, the Rashba. Everyone's talking about what tainus we're talking about here, whether it's a tainus of tshuva, even a tainus of tshuva, on a chet, this guy feels really bad about something that he did, and he just needs to do tshuva now, and it's Shabbos, and sorry, I'm doing tshuva, I'm doing the tainus, he's inspired. Or if it's dafka, tainus chalom. Right? Tainus chalom is when you have a bad dream, a certain kind of bad dream. Chazal prescribe to fast on that dream, to get rid of whatever gzera that bad dream of yours was tied to. And the Gemara Shabbos says that you're allowed to have that fast on Shabbos. Why? Because you're feeling really bad about this bad dream. You have anxiety about it. You're wondering what it means. It's sitting in your head and heart. And so when you fast on Shabbos, that's actually, yes, a tainug for you. It's actually, yes, a positive for you because you're getting rid of those bad feelings of, oh, what did that dream mean?
Did you say that there's
Yeah, so it could be that this, I don't know if he's aware of the gzera. I don't know if he's aware of it. Right? This could be Hashem's instigation of, something's wrong. So I didn't see anyone say that. That's really beyond me of how that would work. Right, we could theorize. I don't know. That's the real answer. Is I don't know. But simply level one, they're two different things. Is the power is able to get rid of a gzera of 70, but obviously this thing can do more than just that. Right, so simply. So it's a debate as to what kind of dream we're talking, what kind of fast we're talking about. Is it only for a tainus chalom, or is it even for a tshuva? according to those who say that it's for a tainus chalom, they have to explain because, like I was saying, the Gemara Shabbos says that when you fast for a dream, for a bad dream that you had, it's actually a positive thing. It's a tainug. You enjoy getting rid of that anxiety and those bad feelings. So why are you... So why does the Gemara say, Mai Tekante, how do you fix this and you're going to get hit for that, for not doing Oneg Shabbos? You did Oneg Shabbos. It wasn't Oneg for you.
We're not talking Oneg with food, though. It's a specific things that bring us Oneg.
Okay, so that's one answer, like Rabbi Michael is saying, is because it's true, he might have enjoyed fasting on Shabbos. It did good for him. But Lemaisa, there is certain, the Chazal also prescribed how to do Oneg Shabbos. And it's not by fasting, it's by eating, dafka. So because technically he didn't do the Oneg Shabbos that's prescribed by Chazal, so technically he has to do some tshuva for that because he didn't do the right thing. That's one yishuv. I think the Chidush HaGaonim brings that. I think it's a Rashba or whatever it is. That's brought here. The Iyun Yaakov says something super interesting. He says, even though Afapisha also commits Chachamim, it's true that even though you did what the Chachamim prescribed in this case, Lishanos Alechalo, to fast on the bad dream that you had. Nevertheless, you're going to have to still fix the fact that you didn't have Oneg Shabbos. Why? I did the right thing. I'm supposed to fast for the bad dream, even on Shabbos. What did I do wrong? Why do I have to now do tshuva for that? Mikol Malkov, this is the Iyun Yaakov. Mikol Malkov, Yesh Loimar, Dimistama, Kevan Shekash Baruch Hu, Anol Yodoy, Shabalo Yasiba, Bechol Lomina Shemayim, Levatel Oneg Shabbos. Look at the Hashgacha of what Hashem did. He set it up in such a way that your dream happened on the, Friday night, so that on Shabbos day, you are now going to want to do the fast to undo the bad dream from Friday night. And this is all happening on Shabbos. Mistama lo haya darchei lizahir ma'ed bechvayda oinig Shabbos. Minastam, Hashem did this because you're not a guy that cares too much about oinig Shabbos anyways. You weren't very careful to mekayim the mitzvah anyways. So Hashem set it up to dafka have it happen on Shabbos, and that's a message of, hey, Hashem put me in the situation where I got rid of my real oneg Shabbos to do the fast. That's a message that he doesn't like my oneg Shabbos. Something is problematic over here. So make another tainus on the fact that I didn't have oneg Shabbos this Shabbos and in general. That would be the Yun Yaakov. I got to fix up my oneg Shabbos issues at Hashem. That's the way that he brings it up. So I thought it was fascinating that even you learn the principle from this, that even if what I'm doing is the right thing, if it's al cheshbon, really a good avodah or some mitzvah or something, there's what to look at over there. Oh, but I did the right thing. What do you mean? Okay. That's, yeah. This is the point that I want to bring out. Rashi, I want to explain on Dibra Maschil that this tainus on Shabbos can get rid of even a gzeira that's been on your head for 70 years, that hasn't gotten away up until now, explains why. What is so amazing about fasting on Shabbos that it tears up a gzeira, a very harsh gzeira? What is it about fasting on Shabbos? Says Rashi, the fisha tainis kasha b'Shabbos, because this fasting on Shabbos is difficult, it's hard. The fisha kol misangimbo v'hu misane. Because everybody is having their cholent and wine, and there you are fasting. Again, the fisha tainis kasha b'Shabbos, because fasting is difficult on Shabbos. The fisha kol misangimbo, because everyone is busy having a good time and enjoying and doing oneg, v'hu misane, and you are fasting. That's what's special about this. Says Rav Simcha Zissel, the altar of Kelm, in his book Or Rashaz, which is a likut of letters that he wrote to his son and family members and different drashas that he gave and letters to other gedolim, and just put together on the Chumash what they could find. And he says like this. It's on some pasuk in Bereishis, Yud Gimel Yod Aleph, and Lot. I'm not going to get to the pasuk part. I'm just going to take the snippet that I want here. Says a small dibarnu lebnei habayis. Yesterday we spoke about the family members. Nischazek be'ida hayom belimud, to mechazek ourselves, to strengthen and gird our loins in these days, legabi learning. Be'isha harbe betelim, at a time when a lot of people are not learning, or they're battling. Chazal say in Brachos, the Gemara that we just quoted, Hayoshu b'tainas cholam b'Shabbos, right? That if you sit, you have to do another tainas for the fasting you did on Shabbos. Why? Because it's a chet, it's an avera what you did. And nevertheless, even though what you did, there's something wrong with it, it says that fast on Shabbos has the koach to rip up a gzar din of 70 years. And then he brings the Rashi that we just quoted. That fast on Yudin Shabbos is the power comes from the fact that you are doing something different than everyone else, and the power that activity has. That when you're acting in a way, when you're doing something right, and it's going against the grain, you have to swim against the current. That avoda, there's a power to it like nothing else. Something that for 70 years this guy was not able to take care of. And now he did something, he's swimming against the current, the koach, like nothing else. Bal achas kama v'kama, here's the line. And how much more so, says Rav Simcha Zissel, kishu oise mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah, u'ma'ana atzma b'limud, and it's hard to learn, when it's hard, v'shah sh'roiv misangim, at the time where most people at Aquakef, or, I don't know, where are people? Camp. Ask me the wrong person. I just go from here to home and can come back. I don't know where people are. Camp! Where people are in camp! Playing with all the special needs kids. B'shah sh'roiv misangim, when most people are just having a good time, kama gzardin yikraloi. How much koach does that does that limud have to get rid of any gzar din on you? Right? You see the extension that he's making, the principle, and it speaks for itself. Right? It's not a secret. Everybody knows that this time in the zman, this time of year, is hard. Right? Morning seder is a little bit easier. Afternoon seder is kimat impossible. We know. And next week also, you'll see, we're going on a learning retreat. It's going to be a lot of fun. It will. I got Akiva and Nachman did a great job. There's a great lineup. It's going to be fantastic. It's not a tiul. It's a learning retreat. It can be a morning seder. Rosh Hashiva is going to come and give seder. There's going to be a type of afternoon seder. Night, not a night seder. There's more. There's going to be some night activities, chilling. Oh no, but there is going to be a siddurim of limud in the morning and the afternoon. Even then, when the pool is sitting there and the corona beer, not the virus, is in the fridge, that's also going to come with its own, you know, difficulty. There's a certain tainuk to learning on vacation when it's nice outside, but it's also, you know, your heart's being pulled and it gets a little like itchy on the inside and it's hard to sit, you know. We all know that feeling. But Rabosai, you hear of Rav Asher Weiss with the tzaddik that he was talking about. Where this person like this, where he loses everything. And what he's thinking about is, okay, what's a nafkamina my mitzvahs? How do I do tefillin and luv and esrog and atilas adayim? That's what he's thinking. You think that happened just because suddenly he woke up in the hospital and decided that that's what he's going to do? No. That doesn't happen from one simple decision. That happens from a person who was working on that. I would not be surprised if that guy, was able to sit in night seder or afternoon seder and learn, even though it's quiet. That kind of avoda turns you into a person like this, where no matter what situation you're in, I can't even imagine what that's like, and I don't want to. But what turns us into those people? You know, you read the Gedolim biographies, and you know, Cousin Bogarebi in the DP camps, or you know, he's there with a little bit of margarine and butter and a little bit of a thread of the thing, like Hanukkah candles, and dragging himself around doing kafas, whatever is going on. You know, that didn't happen because one day he woke up and be like, you know what, I really want to be the Cousin Bogarebi. Let's light some candles in the camp. No. And Rabosai, for you also, you think you're going to wake up with a family in 10 years from now, 20 years from now, with making parnasa and whatever strategy you have, and you're going to be a person that's now going to set aside time to learn? Where you're still thinking about Avodas Hashem? Or that's still a priority of yours? I promise you it's not going to happen. It will not. It will not. It will not be any easier than it is now. It won't. It really, really won't. Take it from me. I thought it would. I thought it would. Surprise! It's not any easier. Because Baruch has given us a gift called yeshiva, called summersman, called this. What we have to gain now, when things are hard, and you're sitting there, you know, and it's quiet, and you know your friends, you got a bunch of guys that are not here, and your mind starts saying, I really need to go to the bathroom. It's interesting how that happens whenever you hit the hard tosfos, right? Somehow, there's like some sort of, we have to do like a study, the correlation between hitting a hard tosfos and needs to go, you know, needing to go to the bathroom. It's like spikes somehow. It's like a segula. You need to go to the bathroom. If you're ever constipated, just learn a hard tosfos. Go straight to the bathroom. Some segula, right? We all know that. You hit the hard tosfos, boom, I need to go to the bathroom. Oh, I need a coffee. Right? Somehow that happens. Right, that's never going to change. How are we going to be the people that you look around the basement and you're like, ooh, I want to learn with that guy. I want to learn with that guy. You know how that guy became that guy? You know how the Rebbe became that Rebbe? Whatever story you hear, you know how I became that amazing person? It's time after time, day after day, they recognize, number one, the value of these moments. When that question comes up in your mind of, you know, do I get up now or should I push? And he says, you know what? There's a koach to the savoda where I'm going to swim against the stream. Even a gzar din of 70 years. I'm going to daven now. Davening is hard, I know. But you know what? I'm going to pay attention for this bracha. For this one bracha in front of me, I'm going to pay attention. I wasn't going to have done it, but now I caught myself. I'm going to pay attention to this bracha. I'm going to mean what I say. And I say it. All of those mitzvahs, all of that avoda you do is so precious. You have no idea what's going to do. We know from the Nefesh HaChaim. We know. Then when we do that avoda, there's some guy in Gaza, some kid like this, that was going to lose his arms, that now will not. then that will not. We mean what we say when we say that our learning, our davening, is a protection for Klal Yisrael. You learn that one Rashi that it was going to be hard for you to do again. That is the protection of Klal Yisrael. What you are doing, besides what you're getting personally for that, you know that incredible schar. Incredible schar. You can just imagine your Olam Haba. It's like, who's that guy that during 2008, I don't know if anyone's aware, but there's a big financial, the markets crashed in 2008, specifically because of the housing market in the United States. So there was one guy, Barry, I think his name was. They made a movie about him. I don't know what his first name is, but Barry. Anyways, so the housing market in America before 2008 was like on the rise, and everyone was making tons of cash. And this one guy saw that it was a big bubble, and it was gonna crash. It was gonna go down. And he was betting against the housing market, and everyone thought he was insane. Everyone thought he was insane. All of his investors thought he was insane, until the bubble actually burst and the market crashed, and he made a tremendous amount of money. A tremendous amount of money. But up until then, everyone thought he was insane. Every single one of you is making billions and trillions of dollars. You know? You could say that you're insane. What do you mean? Zman is over. It's over. What do you... You know, you had a good Zman. It's done. But I say Adrabba, but this is the best part. This is the best part of Zman, and it's the time when you have to make the most money. A normal Seder, it's easy. You go to a place with a pact of 100, 200 guys. Yeah. You know, you're making money. You're making money. We want to be like the billionaire. You want to be the top guy. Now is the time when that happens. You swim against the current. You'll be billionaires. Trillionaires. So we know that the avoda now is a very special avoda. Let us not forget, you know, what's on the line. What our other brothers in Klal Yisrael, what they're sacrificing for on an hourly basis. And our chrayas to them. And all of Klal Yisrael for this. And also, personally, what you stand to benefit is something that I lo rosa. Think about the most amazing thing you can dream of. The best situation. Doesn't even hold, it's nothing. It's nothing compared to what you're making. The bank that you're making now. Okay, I'll just take a little bit of time to get there, that's all. Just a little bit of time to get there. Not too long. Okay. Not too long. You know, I love to quote what the Bali Moser say, you know, about life. You know, we have a hard time, so they used to... used to make people feel a little better. Say, I said, I know. The first 80, 90 years are a little difficult, then it's all smooth sailing. As the Bali Moser. The first 80, 90 years, it's a little bit hard, but then it's going to be fine. Well, from there on out, it's all good. So it's funny, but it's true. Yeah, let's not forget our achrayas and the tremendous value and preciousness that we have in front of us over the next very short tkufa. Have a good morning.